الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد إن تفسير سورة آل عمران آية 58 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ذلك نتلوه عليك من الآيات والذكر الحكيم That we recite unto you of the miraculous signs and the wise reminder. أي هذا القرآن العظيم الذي فيه نبأ الأولين والآخرين والأنبياء والمرسلين هو آيات الله البينات. The Sheikh عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمة الله عليه says this glorious, magnificent, great Quran includes and contains the news of the earlier generations and the latter ones. And the news of the prophets and the messengers, and it is a miraculous sign from the miraculous signs of Allah, the clear ones, the clear proofs and evidences are found in this Quran. وهو الذي يذكر العباد كل ما يحتاجون, and it is that which reminds the slaves of all that which they need. And it's very interesting that Allah calls the Quran ذكر, right? إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ Dhikr, what does dhikr mean? To remember. Why is the concept of reminder mentioned as the Qur'an? The Qur'an being a reminder, even if you're hearing something for the first time, even if you're hearing an ayah, or you're learning an ayah for the first time, it is still considered dhikr. Who knows why? Okay, but get a little deeper. I want depth.
Because what
about
the previous message? They came with the same message.
Beautiful, but you're on the right track, but you're going in the wrong direction. You get me? You're right, but I want you to go that way. Personally, forget about, you know, we're not discussing now the previous message, because we don't know about the previous messages. It has to do with the fact that we were, you know, predisposed to believe in whatever Allah mentioned in the Quran. So really it becomes a reminder because it's reminding you of that which is already instilled in your depth. When you were created, when Allah first created us, or each one of us, He was born with the natural disposition. What is it known in Arabic? Sheikh Abdul Majid, Fitra. In the fitra, we already know that we should worship Allah alone, that this dunya is worthless, and that, you know, halal is halal, bayin is clear, haram is clear. All these are actually, you know, are instilled, or let's say installed in us by default. So when you download a software which only reactivates these pre-existing applications, then you call it just, it's a reminder. It's nothing new that's being given to you. It's something which you already have known without ever learning it in school. It's something that our minds were created in a way to comprehend things in this fashion. See why it's called dhikr? It reminds you of what you already know. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a reminder. So this is what dhikr, yadadhakkar, to remember. And yadadhakkar is also the same thing, but of course there's a linguistic difference between them. Rhetorically speaking. Okay, so it reminds the slaves of everything which they need. وهو الحكيم المحكم صادق الأخبار حسن الأحكام. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is most wise, the one who is firm, the one who is truthful in the information which He gives us, the one who is excellent in the rulings which He legislated. The one who is excellent in the rulings which He legislated. This is something that we need to believe in as Muslims. So whenever we come across a teaching from the teachings of Islam, then we must first understand that Allah is the one who legislated that. And if this is the case, and we find within ourselves some elements of rejection or objection, that's an indication that we are thinking something very bad. Because we are, in other words, saying that Allah is not wise. When you know that Allah is wise, then you trust His judgment or you don't. You trust His judgment. So when Allah commanded the Muslim male to do some things, and He commanded the Muslim female to do some other things, particular to her, or anything which Allah legislated, then we need to know Allah is all wise. When we know that Allah is all wise, we would never object. When does it become a problem? When we object. And if we are objecting, meaning we're saying that Allah doesn't really know what He's doing, that ruling is not really good. It's a very dangerous approach. That's, you know, that's what happens when someone negates. And you know, I'm not going to give examples. I think some of you already picked it up. على كل حال. Now this is the ayah that are fundamental. إن مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب ثم قال له كن فيكون الحق من ربك فلا تكن من الممترين فمن حاجك فيه من بعد ما جاءك من العلم فقل تعالوا ندع أبناءنا وأبناءكم ونساءنا ونساءكم وأنفسنا وأنفسكم ثم نبتهل فنجعل لعنة الله على الكاذبين إن هذا لهو القصص الحق وما من إله إلا الله وإن الله لهو العزيز الحكيم فإن تولوا فإن الله عليم بالمفسدين. Someone kindly read ayat 59 till 63 in a loud audible sound in English.
Indeed, the example of Jesus to Allah is like that of Adam. He created him from dust, then he said to him, be, and he was. The truth is from your Lord, so do not be among the doubters. Then whoever argues with you about it after this knowledge has come to you, say, come, let us call our sons and your sons, our woman and your woman, ourselves and yourselves, then supplicate earnestly together and invoke the curse of Allah upon the liars. Indeed, this is the true narration, and there is no deity except Allah, and indeed Allah is the exalted in mind, the wise.
The last ayah.
But if they turn away, then indeed Allah is knowing of the characters.
Barakallahu feek. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله لما ذكر قصة مريم وعيسى ونبأهما الحق وأنه عبد أنعم الله عليه وأن من زعم أن فيه شيئا من الإلهية فقد كذب على الله. After Allah had narrated unto us the story of Mary and her son Jesus and their narrative in truth, and that he is simply a slave on whom Allah has bestowed his favors, and that whosoever claims that Jesus has any part of divinity has forged a lie against Allah. وَكَذَّبَ جَمِيعَ أَنْبِيَائِهِ وَكَذَّبَ عِيسَى صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And then he in turn had belied all of the prophets of Allah and even belied Jesus himself. فَإِنَّ الشُّبْهَ الَّتِي عَرَضَتْ لِمَنِ اتَّخَذَهُ إِلَهًا شُبْهَةً بَاطِلًا. The doubt which they presented as why they have taken him as a god is actually a very false doubt. It's a claim that holds absolutely no water. What was their argument? You know, the Christians will tell you, man, you know, Jesus didn't have a father. He didn't have a father, so God must be his father. So what do you say? I mean, the ayah tell you the answer. The ayat, what is the answer of Allah? What about Adam? That is a powerful argument that personally, in my short experience as someone giving da'wah, I've never come across a Christian who was able to give any satisfying argument to this particular, you know, answer from Allah. Once they present the idea of Jesus, they say, listen, Adam, did he have a father? So no. Did he have a mother? Say no. So, where's Adam? Why don't you take him as the son of God, as the begotten son of God? His creation, alaykum salam, is greater than that of Jesus. No Christian has ever been able to give a satisfying answer. There's nothing to say. If this is what they would be, now, they may give you other reasons. They may say, no, but because of us. Okay, listen, that's another discussion. Now we're saying about the idea, your claim that Jesus didn't have a father, God must be his father. In this argument, here is Adam. And that closes the door for that argument. Now they may present for you, or to you, other reasons why Jesus is the Son of God, and then you have to present other arguments to refute that. But in the category of, well, Adam, you know, God must be his father because he didn't have a father, then this is the answer for that one. Then what about Adam? They can never give you a satisfying answer. فَلَوْ كَانَ لَهَا وَجْهٌ صَحِيحٌ لَكَانَ آدَمْ أَحَقَّ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ خُلِقَ مِنْ دُونِ أُمٍّ وَلَا أَبْ. If this was a valid, you know, doubt, then Adam would have more of a right, you know, than Jesus, because he didn't have a father nor a mother. وَمَا ذَلِكَ فَاتَّفَقَ الْبَشَرُ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى أَنَّهُ عَبْدٌ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ. With that said, all of the creation of Allah agree that Adam is only a slave from the slaves of Allah, even the Christians. They don't claim that, you know, Adam is the begotten son of God. Now they say everybody is the son of God. We are the sons of God. So they may say that he is the son of God in a sense that everyone is the son of God. But do they claim that he has the begotten sonship of Jesus? Do they give that to Adam? No, they don't. They don't claim that. They claim that Jesus is the only begotten son of God, and Adam is just another son of God like everybody else. So this is the argument.
فدعوة إلهية عيسى بكونه خلق من أم بلا أب دعوة من أبطل الدعوة.
So this idea, this claim that Jesus must be divine because he was created from through a mother only without a father is one of the most false doubts or claims ever. One of the most false claims ever.
وهذا هو الحق الذي لا ريب فيه.
Now this is the truth in which there is no doubt.
أن عيسى كما قال عن نفسه ما قلت لهم إلا ما أمرتني به أن اعبدوا الله ربي وربكم.
It's what Jesus himself said, as Allah quoted him in the Quran. He said, I did not say to them, and this is in the context of Surah Al-Ma'idah, at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, as it comes that Allah Azza wa Jal will tell Jesus on the Day of Judgment, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ. Did you say to the people, take me and my mother as ilah, as gods besides Allah? He will say, Subhanak, glory be to you. It is not for me to say that which I have no right or no knowledge to say. Then here, مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَتَنِي.
I didn't say anything to them except
that which you commanded me, that you should worship Allah, my Lord, and your Lord. Now who can give me an ayah, or a verse, I'm sorry, from the Bible, which supports this ayah in the Quran? I did not say to them, except that which you commanded me.
Ha, ya du'at al-Islam, O people of da'wah.
One verse from the Bible, very, very close in the idea of Jesus saying, look man, I got nothing to do with it. I'm only, you know, it's not my will. I'm only doing my job. Maybe John chapter 5, verse 13. Huh? What does it say? Who knows the ayah, the verse? Mayruk? Mafi ma'luk? Come on, bro. Bustinera. John 5:30. Just remember the time 5:30. Okay? If you want to make it easy for yourself, you know everybody can remember 5:30, just half an hour before 6. So you can remember the verse. Jesus said, I of myself can do nothing. I judge as I hear. But my judgment is righteous. Now listen. For I do not seek my own will, but the will of He who sent me. Okay? I myself can do nothing. Who's the one in charge? Allah. And when you bring a case to me, I will not oppress you. I judge as I hear. And that means that I don't know, I mean, we could actually expound and do tafsir of the Bible according to our Islamic principles in unbelievable ways that the Christians can never figure out. You can do this, by the way, live. And we have no problem, because that's not the book of Allah for you to say, oh, well, I cannot do tafsir. You can do tafsir. I do it all the time. Say, look, man, we can elaborate. When Jesus said that I of myself can do nothing, I judge as I hear, what does that mean? That means that he doesn't know the unseen. If he knew the unseen, if he knew the future, if he knew what the people hide, then when people brought the
Let's say two people were disputing. And they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, this man took my sheep. I had 15 sheep, he took them. If Jesus knew the unseen, he would have told them, you're lying. He didn't take anything. Right? But does he know the unseen? No. So what did he say? I judge as I hear. I don't know. You bring a case to me, I hear both of you, and according to what I hear, I will make a judgment. But because he's a prophet, because he will never oppress anyone, he said, but my judgment is righteous. So he will not oppress you. Why? Why is his judgment righteous? Because he's a slave of Allah. I do not seek my own will. I'm not trying to do things according to me, but the will of he who sent me. The will of Allah. So I'm a slave of Allah, judging between you according to my lack of knowledge, and the pleasure of the one whom I seek is Allah. The one whom I seek in his pleasure is Allah. You see how that one Bible verse can, you know, open a whole argument against the Christians to prove that Jesus was what we Muslims believe. And they can never explain this verse another way. If they say Jesus was God, he was the Son of God, say how? If you say that, that means that all of these verses, Jesus was lying. That's the only final result. If you claim that Jesus, you insist that he is God and the Son of God, that means all of the verses which we can quote to you, where Jesus made statements similar to John 5:30, are actually lies. He was playing games with the people. Because it doesn't make sense that the Son of God, who knows that he is co-equal to God, co-eternal to God, co-existent with God, will tell the people, you know, I myself can do nothing, I judge as I hear, but my judgment is righteous, it's not my will, but the will of he who sent me. If he was equal to God, he doesn't have the right to say that there's a will for Allah and a will for himself. He will have to say that our will is the same. So we say to them, according to your principles, Jesus has been lying all over the Bible. And I personally, as a Muslim, I will refuse to claim that he's lying, but I would believe that others are lying against him. Your formula of Trinity is from the Christian doctrine that was man-made, it's not from the Bible. The quotations I'm giving you are from the statements of Jesus in the Bible. You, even as a Christian, should be able to be intellectual enough to favor what Jesus said over what people said about him. When you refuse to do that, say that I am truly a better follower of Jesus than yourself. Because your belief in Jesus is based on church, my belief in Jesus is based on the Quran and the Bible. And which is stronger? The Quran and the Bible. You see? And like this verse, my brothers in Islam, there are hundreds of verses in the Bible that when you read them, you'll be like, no way! This is all you need. All you need to prove to them that from their Bible, not all you need. All you need is the Quran. All we need is the Quran. But for them to prove from their resources, from their references, this is all you need to prove that whatever they have said about Jesus is in contrary with what he said about himself in the Bible. So you make the Christian realize that they are not following Jesus, they are following what is being said about Jesus. And if they are following what is being said about Jesus, now there's no difference between them and the Jews. Because the Jews said Jesus is a liar, and these current day Christians, they say he's God. And when you follow what the people said about Jesus, now it doesn't matter. You could be a Jew, or you could be someone who says the divine is the same thing. Because in both cases, you're not following Jesus, you're following what is being said about him. So you and the Jew are equal. He says he's not God, he's not a messenger of God, and you say that he's God. He is lying, and you are lying. Where's the truth? With us. He's the messenger of God. You see how it is? This is the approach for the Christians. Now this is traumatizing for them because they don't know this. So this is why if we learn these very basic verses along with the ayat of Allah, the Quran, very important. We want to explain those in the light of these. Then the da'wah will be extremely effective, inshallah. If we don't, then we will suffer. Wa alaykum salam. وكان قد قدم على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وفد نصارى نجران وقد تصلبوا على باطلهم بعدما أقام عليهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم البراهين بأن عيسى عبد الله ورسوله حيث زعموا إلهيته
Now the story of Najran, which we already had discussed before, but we will repeat now. They had come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm still looking for that English word. You know, I've been waiting for what, 3 weeks now to remember the word waft in English. Oh, subhanallah al-azim. Anyways, the delegation.
Alhamdulillah.
The delegation of Najran. That's what the word. That's the term, the technical term for that. The delegation of Najran had come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, claiming that Jesus was a god, and they insisted on their falsehood after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had established the proofs and the evidences against them that Jesus was no more than the messenger of Allah and his slave, while they claimed his divinity. فَوَصَلَتْ بِهِمْ وَبِهِ وَبِهِمُ الْحَالِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ أَمَرَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَنْ يُبَاهِلَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ اتَّضَحَ لَهُمُ الْحَقُّ وَلَكِنْ الْعِنَادُ وَالتَّعَصُّبُ مَنَعَاهُمْ مِنْهُ. So until the situation reached this stage where Allah commanded the Prophet ﷺ to invite them to mubahala. Mubahala, as we will see what it means in the next ayat. Now why mubahala? Because they reached the stage where the truth has become clear to them. However, their stubbornness and their pride prevented them from adhering to the truth. It's not like they had a misunderstanding. It's one thing when you have doubts and you're trying to understand. It's another thing when everything has become clear to you, you're just not willing to submit. When they reached that level of knowing the truth, but they were not willing to submit, mubahala was offered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَدَعَاهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَى الْمُبَاهَلَةِ بِأَنْ يَحْضُرَ هُوَ وَأَهْلَهُ بِأَنْ يَحْضُرَ هُوَ وَأَهْلُهُ وَأَبْنَاهُ. That he صلى الله عليه وسلم will come, and his wives and his family and his children. وَهُمْ يُحْضِرُونَ بِأَهْلِهِمْ وَأَبْنَائِهِمْ. And they will bring, they will come and they will bring their wives and their children. ثم يدعون الله تعالى أن ينزل عقوبته ولعنته على الكاذبين. Then they will invoke Allah to send His curse, to send His curse and His punishment upon the liars. It's a very powerful, very powerful confrontational offer. You know, it doesn't get any better than that, because you know, you reach the let's say the end of the tunnel, you reach the dead end, and these people are taking zero heed. They don't want to take any heed. Then they, you know, say, listen, if that's what it boils down to, okay, you know, here we are. We will come, I'll bring my wives and my children, and you bring your wives and your children, okay, the delegation of Najran. And we will stand in the same place, and we will beg Allah to punish and curse the liars. Ouch. There's no escape. There's no escape. Once you're at that point, khalas, someone is bound to be destroyed, right? Someone is bound to be cursed, because you've reached the final thing. It's not like you told them, okay, we will deal with it on the day of judgment, right? That's one approach. Okay, Allah will deal with us on the day of judgment, and khalas, everything goes now. But this is the dunya now, the curse of Allah now in the dunya. So what did they do? What did the delegation of Najran do? They sent the rain check. Huh? Said, ma'lish, ma'lish, O Messenger of Allah, but yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. Please, let us just go. We'll pay taxes. We'll pay taxes. Let us just go. See the liars? If they were strong, if they were confident in their truth, which they claim is to be truth, it's falsehood, they would have said, oh, by all means. Oh, by all, Allah, curse the liars. But they knew as soon as they said that, they're done. So they went there and they negotiated with the Prophet ﷺ, tried to strike a deal with him. And that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. Because they knew the truth. There's no argument for any Christian on earth to claim that Jesus is God or the Son of God and be able to get away with it. No excuse. Logic doesn't aid them. The Bible doesn't aid them. History doesn't aid them. Islam doesn't aid them. Nothing aids them. Except their desires and their false claims. Everything else in opposition with their claim. So once we know these other elements, we will be able to counter, argue their claims. If we don't know, then they will think they are upon the truth. And when one, you know, da'i like Ahmadiyyat rahimahullah, when he learned these things,
Look what happened to the Christian world. Seriously, it's an amazing event in human history. One man who never even went to college. He was a regular man. Barely he got his school finished, you know. Self-study. He was able to demolish the biggest Christian figures that were known in the century. He humiliated them. Each and every one of them. Each and every one of them in any topic. Crucifixion, done. Bible being the Word of God, done. Jesus being the Son of God, done. Nothing, nothing was presented except that they were made fun of, clowned, mocked, and humiliated. Publicly, before the TV screens, all over the world. One man. Only learned a couple of verses from the Bible. Well, he learned the whole Bible. But his arguments were based on a few verses from the Bible, and he was able to destroy the whole of Christianity. Not once was one of them able to present anything that convinced anyone in the crowd that Christianity has anything to offer. Even Christians themselves. I believe, personally, any Christian who ever attended any VDAT debate, his life was never the same afterwards. If they didn't accept Islam, they can never feel the same way about Christianity afterwards. He ruined it for them. He made the sweetness sour forever. And this is one man. Why? He just did the job. He learned. He learned the truth and the tricks. And this is what we're not doing. If this is one man whose even knowledge of Islam wasn't very sound, rahimahullah, his knowledge of Islam was very, very, you know, weak. His aqeelah wasn't even sound, rahimahullah ta'ala. May Allah pardon him. We love him for the sake of Allah. May Allah pardon him. But that's the truth. And he was able to do all this. Then what about the Muslim who should his aqeelah sound? His understanding is sound. Maybe his language is better. Maybe he has better qualifications. But see, we're not doing the job. We prefer to watch TV. We prefer to, you know, read some magazines and newspapers. We prefer to waste time. We prefer to go to Disneyland. Or there's no Disneyland here. We prefer to go to, you know, Corniche. Whatever. That's what it is. If we were to spend that same time, or half of it, learning, oh man, oh, it would be good stuff. And we could go out there and crucify the Christians with words, of course. But Allah musta'an. May Allah pardon us for our shortcomings. And this is, by the way, some of us say, oh well, you know, brother, we are responsible on the Day of Judgment. You see, because we come to these classes, don't think that we come here, you know, have a good old listen and go home and everything. We are responsible for this knowledge. Because Allah had made it part of His decree that you come over here and you don't go anywhere else. And once you are presented with the information, then we are expected to benefit from it and put it into practice and utilize it. So it is our responsibility, by the way. It is fard kifaya on some Muslims to learn all these various ways of da'wah and act upon them. Otherwise we become sinful, all of us. So it's not just a voluntary act of worship. This can become an obligation for us. We must learn these things. We must be able to give da'wah to the rest of the non-Muslim world with professionalism, with sound knowledge. So I hope, yani, we realize these things and we really try to benefit. So we will not be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. طيب. فتشاوروا هل يجيبونه إلى ذلك؟ فاتفق رأيهم أن لا يجيبوه لأنهم عرفوا أنه نبي الله حقا. So they debated with them, or they actually consulted themselves, or they had consultation amongst themselves. Shall they respond to his mubahala? And they agreed that they should not, because they recognized that he was the prophet of Allah in truth. وأنهم إن باهلوه هلكوهم وأولادهم وأهلوهم. And they know that if they were to do the mubahala, they would be destroyed, so would be their wives and their children. فصالحوه وبدل له الجزية. So they struck a deal with him and they paid the taxes to him صلى الله عليه وسلم. وطلبوا منه الموادعة والمهادنة فأجابهم صلى الله عليه وسلم. And they asked him to you know, give him some room and respite and not to make things difficult for them. So he responded to them صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يحرجهم لأنه حصل المقصود من وضوح حق. And he did not kind of he did not make things difficult for them. He did not complicate things for them because the truth had become clear to them. وتبين عندهم عنادهم حيث حيث صمموا على الامتناع عن المباهلة وذلك يبرهن على أنهم كانوا ظالمين. And so it became clear their stubbornness when they refused to go for the mubahala, and that proves that they were wrongdoers, that they were oppressors and oppressing themselves and oppressing others because they had recognized the truth. ولهذا قال تعالى إن هذا لهو القصص الحق. Verily these are the true narratives, the narratives in truth. أي الذي لا ريب فيه, the one in which there is no doubt. وإن الله لهو العزيز الذي قهر بقدرته وقوته جميع الموجودات وأذعنت له سكان الأرض والسماوات ومع ذلك وأذعنت له سكان الأرض والسماوات ومع ذلك فهو الحكيم الذي يضع الأشياء مواضعها وينزلها منازلها. And verily Allah is the one exalted in might, the one who with this irresistibility and his power, he subdued everything in the creation and everything in the heavens and the earth submit to his will and his majesty. Yet he is the most wise who puts things in their proper places and he will apply things in a manner which is befitting. Everything is done with the ultimate wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no random, you know, impromptu, you know, business in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Everything has been preordained in the best and most wise fashion. The last ayah in this particular context, قُلْ يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. Say, O people of the book, come to a common term or common word between us and you, that we worship none but Allah and we do not associate anything in worship with Him and we do not take from amongst ourselves gods and patrons and patrons besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if they turn away, then say, bear witness that we are Muslims. Bear witness that we are Muslims. The Shaykh said, هذه الآية الكريمة كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكتب بها إلى ملوك أهل الكتاب. This ayah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would actually quote it whenever he would send his letters to the kings of the Christian kings, right? And remember, in our discussion, we mentioned, and I repeat the point. I hope we don't repeat the discussion though. Why it is better to give the non-Muslim the whole Quran or a book that is concise and you know tackling a particular concept? It is better to give them something which is, you know, which is formulated and you know in a way that addresses the issues that they have. Given the non-Muslim a Quran, we said, is not necessarily always the best idea. It may work with some. At least those who have been introduced to Islam, they have a good background on Islam, they still have some misconceptions or they accept, they realize it's the religion of truth, however they have not made it to the point where they're willing to accept the deen or to revert or to submit to Allah, then the Quran becomes a suitable gift for someone because we hope that they will open and read Allah speaking to them, addressing them directly, and this will kind of wake them up and make them realize they need to submit to Allah. But if someone has no idea about Islam and they already have pre-existing misconceptions and you give them the Quran as a gift and they open the Surah At-Tawbah and they read, kill them wherever you find them, guess what? You are in trouble. Right? Like, what? So everything I've been seeing on CNN is true? So Islam is terrorism? So it's over. Now you try to fix that. He goes, oh no, hold on, let me tell you the context and let me... Difficult, very difficult. So we have to, so the Prophet ﷺ, he wouldn't send the whole Quran, even though the whole thing wasn't revealed. Even though at that stage, the whole thing wasn't complete. There was no Mus'haf as we have it today. Still, he could have quoted alayhi salatu salam a number of surah which may have been irrelevant. No, he quoted an ayah which was suitable for the people of the book. All people of the book, come to come to an ayah which is addressing their problem. What is the problem? Shirk and kufr. And the ayah calls them to tawheed and worshipping Allah alone. He didn't quote an ayah about قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. You see? He could have said قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Now would that be da'wah? No! That would be saying, you keep your religion, I'm keeping mine. That's already the end. That's already it. When they don't want Islam, so you say, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ. You have your religion, I have mine. I'm not going to compromise. But is that how da'wah begins? No, da'wah begins, come. At the end, go. In the beginning, come. Let us agree. When you don't agree, مع السلام. Not even. مع الجحيم. With the hellfire. You go. That's your business. But that's at the end. In the beginning, you bring him to Islam. So this is why it is important to quote ayat which are relevant. Now, وكان يقرأ أحيانا في الركعة الأولى من سنة الفجر قولوا آمنا بالله. And he would recite sometimes in the first ayah of Surah Al-Fajr, say we believe in Allah. The ayah. ويقرأ بها في الركعة الآخرة من سنة سبحانه. He would recite this ayah in the second ركعة of the Sunnah of Fajr. لاستمالها على الدعوة إلى دين واحد. Because it contained the idea of calling to one religion. The invitation to one religion, as they say, or there's one God, where there should only be one God and one religion. قد اتفقت عليه الأنبياء والمرسلون. The prophets and the messengers had agreed to it. واحتوت على توحيد الإلهية المبني على عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له. And this religion is based on the idea of the divinity of Allah alone and worshipping Him without any partners along with Him. وأن يعتقد أن البشر وجميع الخلق كلهم في طور البشرية لا يستحق منهم أحد شيئا من خصائص الربوبية ولا من نعوت الألوهية. And that you have the firm belief that everything that the creation, the human beings and everything Allah created are nothing but a creation of Allah. They are creatures of Allah. None of them deserve any qualities of lordship or any divine attributes. No qualities of lordship and no divine attributes. فإن انقاد أهل الكتاب وغيرهم إلى هذا فقد اهتدوا. If the people of the book respond to that, and they respond to that, then verily they have become guided. They have become guided. وإن تولوا, but if they turn away, فقولوا, so you say, اشهدوا, bear witness that we are Muslims. كقوله تعالى قل يا أيها الكافرون إلى آخره. So that's at the end, just like Allah said. Once they don't want to accept Islam, I mean, this happens to you, probably if you're Balik Islam or you're a revert to Islam, and you've accepted the religion of Islam, you go speak to your family, and you say, you know, you try to give them da'wah to Islam, and they don't respond, you know. Even if you're a Muslim, and your family are, you know, on some shirk, or some grave worship, or some deviance or misguidance, and you try to, you know, bring them, and they don't want to come. After you make all the necessary effort, which doesn't have to end now, but once you have made the necessary effort, then verily you have reached a point where khalas, you have your way and I have my way. Now it doesn't mean that I will not continue to give you da'wah, but now that I have already conveyed to you the truth has already been established, and so bear witness that I'm a Muslim, meaning I will not go back, I will not abandon the truth which I have found because you're not willing to accept it. Because some people have a misunderstanding. He becomes a Muslim, huh? And he gets excited, oh, I'm going to go back to, you know, my country, I'm going to invite my whole family. Or if you just became guided after you had been misguided, so I'm going to go back home and invite my whole family, and inshallah they will all accept. So you go give da'wah and you get zero results. Some people say, okay, well, I guess then, you know, I could just go back to whatever I was upon. Because they don't want to accept. No. Khalas. You've given the da'wah. So now everybody must understand, I'm sorry. Now I've accepted the sunnah. I will live according to the sunnah. Ma'alish. I'm not going to go back and abandon the truth which I've come across and found and discovered because you're not willing to adhere to it. So whether you're a Muslim who started practicing recently the correct religion of Islam, or you're a non-Muslim who became a Muslim, once you encounter family members or relatives or neighbors who don't want to accept your da'wah, you do not then give up and compromise your understanding and the truth which you are carrying because they're not willing to adhere to it. Rather, you have to reach a point where فَاشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. Bear witness that we are Muslims. That's the attitude. With this, inshallah ta'ala, we will conclude. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.